Hi folks, hope you're well. My name is Jim Carl. Welcome you to the latest podcast on the Banter team. With more and more villages throughout the country now without a local shop, a campaign is underway to change this and bring back a place to go for the messages. Recorded at Banter at Bloom, Declan Rice from the Kilkenny Leader Partnership Company talks about what's involved in putting together a network of community-run shops and cafes in rural Ireland.
Hi everybody, welcome along to Banter at Bloom. It's near the end of the second day. I'm going to tell you a story about why this panel is happening. Hi, my name is Jim Carroll. I produce and host and do all these interviews. A lot of the panels we're doing here over the weekend come around through various little stories that have happened and various things that have happened over the last kind of 12 months. So when Borbia approached us about doing these talks, we kind of knew where we were going to come from. I'm originally from a place called Capel White in West Tipperary, and my father kind of has been farming a bit of land in near Anacarty, a place called Rossbeg, for many years, more years than he cares to remember. And I was home a couple of months ago, and we're driving over one day to do a bit of fencing. And as we're going through Anacarty, he started talking about this new shop that opened in Anacarty, and I was going, what new shop? Fulton Anacarty. Anacarty is kind of, you know, there has been shops there in years. There's three shops originally. There's a post office. There's been nothing there in years. A pub that kind of opens once in a blue moon. And he started talking about this community shop that was opening Anacarty. And I was kind of going, what community shop? I'd never heard about this before. But it turns out that the shop that's about to open in Anacarty isn't the only community shop around. And this gentleman here, his name is Declan Rice. He's from the Leader Partnership in Kilkenny. And he's the man who's going to tell us today about this upsurge in community shops in places like Anacarty, Lochmore, and throughout Kilkenny, Laois, and Tipperary. Would you please give him a round of applause, Declan Rice? Okay, Declan, let's start with your own story then. Like, I mean, obviously the Leader Partnership's involved with a lot of different schemes and a lot of different things with rural Ireland. Where did the retail thing come from?
Well, it came from, I suppose, a few sort of in the zeitgeist, really. As you said yourself, it's something which is starting to emerge probably as more and more shops closing, more private shops, commercial shops closing in local areas. And we started noticing ourselves. We, for a number of years, had been supporting a shop in a very small place in northwest Kilkenny called Crosspatrick, in a small way. Now, this is a very modest operation. You're talking about something in the back of a hall, papers on Sunday, volunteers. Not at all glamorous, as they said themselves, but I think the person who would mentor that foundation, a woman called Joan Vaughan, and she would have said they woke up. The shop started really as a result of almost panic. They woke up one morning and heard that the local shop was closing because the family who operated decided they were letting go, people getting on a bit and all that. And you know, as she said herself, semi-poetically, I thought, until then, all the four roads that led into the village, now they all led out. Everybody was travelling out to do things. Yeah. And we sort of became looked at that, and we're interested in supporting low-key way, but sort of thought in a sort of a way at the time, well, it's this Crosspatrick issue, you know. But then, you know, you start looking around and seeing shops closing all over the place. And at one stage, we did a bit of research and we realized there was something up near 20 villages of a scale, not all of them large, but some of them quite large. Places like Ballyhale, maybe probably would have heard it, I mean, the All Ireland hurling champions, Ballyhale Shamrocks. It's a sizable enough village, town even, has no shop. Carrigeen, Listowney, places like that. And we crossed the border, not too far away from Crosspatrick. A shop started up in 2012, which is Lochmore. A co-op started up by a couple of local women, Mary Fogarty and Maeve O'Hare. And they went and looked at Crosspatrick and saw how it went. And I think went an extra step in opening up tea rooms. And it became a real social centre in Lochmore, and it's become a sort of a bit of a cause célèbre, and people come from all around, and people travel a bit of a distance to go to it. And it's a very, very attractive setup, and the women are very, very good salespeople. And they've made connections with the Plunkett Foundation, which is based in Oxford in England, who have 309 community shops operating in there. And you know, obviously England is further down the scale of rural sort of degeneration or, you know, depopulation or whatever than we are. But you know, it's a phenomenon over there now. There's community shops, there's community pubs. And it's something which will happen here. And we're saying it'll happen, but it could happen and be awkward for people unless we get and start organising to support them. Irish community people do amazing things, really amazing things. They take on huge debts, they take on huge responsibilities, people nowhere else in Europe would take on. But you can't rely on that genius all the time. You have to support it. If we want this to work, I think we need to start thinking strategically as a nation and agencies like ourselves, and also people such as credit unions, chambers of commerce, local authorities need to start thinking strategically about how we can support them. Not to do it for them, but to let them do it easier.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
That's enough, yeah. That's enough to start out with. But I suppose then, like, let's talk a little bit then about the kind of the research and development, because, you know, when you get the kind of this idea that you need to give support to these communities, organizations, these communities setups that are happening, like, how did you decide which ones you're going to support? Like, you were talking to me when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you were saying to me that, like, sometimes when you go to a village, it was very clear they needed a shop. In other cases, like, the case had to be made.
Well, I think the first thing we said when we started doing this, and it really is a work in progress, we're starting to develop the option, was we weren't going to displace any existing shops. So we had a very, very rough set of metrics, which we made a judgment on. And that's what I'm saying those 15 to 20 places came from. There couldn't be a shop in the village or within walking distance of, say, 5 minutes, or driving distance of a similar type of nature. There had to be some other supporting infrastructure, in other words, a school or a church or a community hall. And we're really saying we wanted to see also there was a critical mass of people who would support the shop. In other words, it was no good, two or three people with the best will in the world saying we need a shop if the community wasn't behind it. We needed to see evidence of that. Now, really, it is after that, once you have that, and once you know you're not putting someone else out of business, it really is a judgment. And it really depends then on the passion of the people involved, whether they're, and I'm not just talking about the two or three leaders, and you always need leaders, but the passion of people involved actually make the case and say, we want a shop, we're prepared to do this, we're prepared to say we're going to shop here and buy our milk here, buy our bread here, we're prepared to actually put money into it, we're prepared to organise our lives so that people actually think of the shop and try to keep it running. And the truth of the matter is, if you do that, it is much easier to keep a shop. You don't have to make money. If you don't have to make a living out of a shop, you can keep it going. Where a family has to make a living out of a business, it's going to be a challenge. You know, really, you cannot expect, you know, that they're going to be able to keep that going and put kids through school and clothes in their back and everything else. But, you know, it is possible to run it at, you know, washing its face. So definitely, you know, the research in Britain says that once a community gets a shop, very, very rarely close. 15 shops out of the 310 or whatever they've just established over there since the early 1970s have shut. 15, you think of that, very, very small. So we would believe that if we do our research properly, organise ourselves properly, put the framework in there, it will get going. It'll become a movement. And when people see their next door neighbour doing it, you know, then they'll realise it. And there's a danger of looking for the glamorous as well. Not everything has to be glamorous. You know, it doesn't have to be very, very nice. It can just be a very, very bog standard. Once you're providing a service, I think it'll work.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that, because that's very interesting. Because, I mean, most people here, when they heard about community shops, like you mean, Declan, they would have kind of, like, I suppose, they would have heard about the one in Lochmore, right? And that's a cafe, and, like, and they're selling lovely scones, lovely jams, you know what I mean? And two very, very savvy women running the place as well. But, like, you know, I'm thinking about the shop that's going to open in Anacharty, and that's going to be fairly basic. It's going to be selling the messages, you know? And, like, I think this is something that we kind of, like, need to kind of keep sight of, that when you're talking about a shop, you're really talking about a service.
Totally. I mean, it is part of the wider subset of arguments about rural Ireland and the services, transport and everything else. But just to focus on retail, that's exactly what you're talking about, giving people a chance to buy the paper. You know, now papers make no one any money. Remember, the Irish Times know that better than most people.
We know that very well.
but they are essential to bringing people in. I mean, if you can sell a Sunday paper, you can sell a daily paper, people will go out of their way, and they'll buy, you know, a bar of chocolate, they'll buy, you know, whatever it is. So you need to think of it in terms of more basic type of service. If you can add stuff on, and you can do the scones and do all the rest of that, and make it a social hub, that's great. And I think you really should try and do that, because the more you can offer, you know, the more you cover your costs. You know, one or two people can probably run a coffee shop and the shop and the bit in the front, all of that. But, you know, it will not always be a very attractive option. But it's providing a service. And if you can bundle it up with other things, you know, and the community hall, for instance, a room in the community hall or whatever else, or even, you know, schools, and, you know, and it needn't be sort of a particularly, yet again, that phrase, glamorous. It can be things like, you know, large garden sheds. I've seen them used.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, other things. I mean, there's things in the research saying, like, converted public toilets. I wouldn't necessarily think I'd like to market that one, that job. But those type of things, imagination does say that schoolrooms are often there. You know, they could be used. And kids are a great source of funding, you know, a great source of spending. As anyone who has kids themselves will know, they'll run through money. And that, and often, if they're going to spend the money, they might as well spend it there than in Tesco or wherever else they're going to spend it. So, you know, a little bit of thought on this. Any community of any scale needs to look at it. I think the first thing to say is, don't lose your existing shop. We don't want to see any existing shops go. And if someone wants to set up another shop, we would say, best of luck, let them do it, if they can keep it going. But if it can't be done, I think it's a really realizable thing. And I think the problem is, if you let it go too far, if it goes and it's gone for anything like, you know, 6 months to a year, people develop different habits.
Yeah.
They go in the shop somewhere else. We've already lost most of the rural petrol stations in this country. You know, where out now do you get petrol? People have to plan around where they'll drive it now to make sure they have a week's worth of petrol or whatever else, you know? So we need to start thinking about that a little bit. Maybe local pubs need to start thinking about that. Rural pubs need to start thinking a little bit about what they're offering as well. Mm. They're already in the retail business, already dealing in cash. You know, I mean, this wouldn't necessarily be community, although there are community pubs, as I say. But, you know, these ideas, people need to be flexible in their thinking on it. But it's inevitably going to happen. I think the only issue is, will it happen in a way which is structured and which will actually give us the best delivery out of it, really?
Well, that's kind of where you come in as well. Because it's like, you know, if you're kind of putting a situation in place where you've got all these kind of like new community shops coming on stream, they're all individual in that they're all in their individual communities. So let's talk about a network. I mean, obviously that's something you're thinking about, even in a very informal way. Like, you know, we all know, for example, why something like, say, Supervalue works really well, because that's the most great, that multiple... Same with kind of like Spar, Central. They can all kind of like benefit from kind of like, I suppose, cost benefit analysis. They can benefit from economies of scale and like that kind of common purchasing power. Is there something similar that can be done with the community shops?
Yeah, I think definitely what we have to do is actually make it easy for people. I think what we're talking about is getting enough critical mass that, you know, that if you have in, say, and we're talking about in our area, we're talking about Tipperary, Kilkenny, Laois, Carlow. If we can get, say, a network of, say, 20 to 30 shops, suddenly, you know, you're talking about being able to afford coordinators. You're able to start talking about coordination. You're talking about bulk buying. You can go and talk to the people who, you know, news spread or whatever they call it, with the distributing papers and get deals. And if you can get deals, suddenly it all becomes easier. You can talk about taking the pressure off it so that the two or three people who are running a shop in a very small area don't feel isolated. They know they can pick the phone up, talk to their neighbours, talk to a coordinator, and have that level of support. And it just makes it that much easier. You can't, because only volunteerism is really, really important. I think you don't want to abuse it. You cannot rely on it to keep it going. You need to find a way that those volunteers know that they're not going to be in this, you know, for life. It's not a life sentence, and they can enjoy it a bit as well.
Okay. So, okay, when you were talking there about the network, you know, I'm usually thinking like when you've got network, you've kind of got all these kind of like the weak ties become stronger, you know. And but the other thing is that once you've got that network together, you're also looking at putting other services in there. And one story that's come across in rural Ireland, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal was here yesterday, and she was praising the community stores and praising the leader partnership. And she kind of points to the fact that one thing that's missing from rural Ireland, the one thing that's kind of like, I suppose, decimated rural Ireland is numerous post offices are closing and banks are closing. But like, I mean, if you start providing those services to community shops, on the one hand you're going to bring more people in, but surely as well it's going to be more onerous, because I mean suddenly it becomes, if you're dealing with large amounts of cash, it requires a different structure.
No, you're right. I mean, there's a danger of over-egging it as well, you know, and overburdening people. And dealing in cash in large amounts and banking services. But, I mean, a bit of imagination might help in that as well. I mean, we don't necessarily have to be talking. I mean, we are getting more and more cashless, even banks. Anyone who goes into a bank now knows now you're very hard to get to talk to anyone to actually get any money out of it. You know, you have to go through about three or four levels or veils before you can actually get to a cashier. But, you know, there is that. And I think what you probably will find is, you'll probably find that, say, if you have a network of 20, 30 shops, you will probably find that you might arrange between them that a shop in a certain area does banking or does post office services or whatever else, and they're kitted up for it. In other words, they're talking about a building which can cater for that, and they're talking about having some level of, you know, with security in inverted commas or whatever else. It can be done, but, you know, I do think, you know, that I wouldn't let the commercial sector off the hook on this either. I think the commercial sector have a role to play, and they have a duty. I think Banks, I mean, it's easy. It's very easy to kick Banks and get a cheer now, of course. You know, they're not...
It's funny. Yeah, I've had something the other night and someone did the exact same thing. They mentioned Banks. It was a big cheer from the room and everyone was happy.
But, I mean, I still think they have a duty. I understand the commercial operations. I understand, you know, that someone has to pay for it. I understand as well that, you know, large multiples as well are commercial operations. But I also think they have a duty. I think that, and I think if they even thought about it from a marketing point of view and from point of view of goodwill, they'd want to see small shops doing really well. I think it's 54% of all our grocery trade is closed since 1977. Think about that, 54%, over half of them. Now, someone has worked out, I think it's Dr. Kevin Hedu in UCG, that most of the money which a small grocery shop gets in is recirculated in the local economy. Something like, I don't know what it is, in the teens, 17% or something of a multiple gets in the local economy. So if everybody's thinking this true, they say we need local shops. And I think it's almost a duty. It's a duty which should be brought to bear on large firms, on the large multiples, to say, listen, you can either do this voluntarily. If you don't do it voluntarily, you should do it through some form of a levy. Now, these aren't popular, but I think we are talking basic services. If we, I'm a Dubliner myself, so I'm never cease to be amazed by what rural people put up with, you know, as transport is one of the people are talking about. Broadband, I mean, rural broadband, I mean, it's a scandal which, you know, it knows no end. Mobile phone coverage, something else again, but there's maybe a different reason for that. But really, we have to think in this world, do we want to have people, everybody living in cities or not? And the obvious answer is, I don't think that's healthy for us all. So if we don't, we have to start planning for it. So we have to plan for a different way of life. It doesn't mean they have to have a total equality of services, but it needs to be an equivalence. It needs to be a way that people can get broadband, they can get retail, they can get other services. And it means that people as a whole, society as a whole, organise themselves to do that. The duty of people in rural areas is to do their own thing and actually take on the burden, but they have to be supported by the likes of ourselves, but also the commercial organisations which operate in the state, civil society, and the state as well.
Mm. That's really interesting that you kind of say about, like, you know, that the big commercial operations have a role to play. In many ways, they're kind of a very strange role. They've always played a very strange role. That from what you're saying, and like me, just researching against this, a lot of people are going back to community stores directly as a backlash against the likes of Tesco Extra, against all those kind of big stores. Like, you know, someone was talking earlier on about, you know, the donut effect that happens with certain kind of villages, where basically, like, I mean, Blackline, it was, you know, I think it was, where, like, I mean, all the businesses stripped out of it. Never McGuire was talking about back in the day, all the business stripped out, it all goes to the edges of the town. Something like, I mean, Tesco Extra, when it moves in, it's basically a one-stop shop. And you kind of feel that maybe people are getting, there's a bit of a kind of a backlash against that as well, that people are kind of want more community shops because they realise that if they're going to support the likes of Tesco Extra, they're putting community shops out of business.
Well, I'm not sure whether there's a backlash or not, but I mean, I think there needs to be an awareness anyway that there is an effect. You know, if you're going to support, you know, some of the large multiples in their smaller shop, I mean, they're often very handy as well. Should we all use them? You know, I mean, there's no point being hypocritical about it. But if you do that, the cost of your own local shop, eventually your local shop is going to close. And, you know, Tesco Extra aren't going to open up a local shop near me in Grange, you know. While we lose our local shop where we are, you know, we have two pubs, but that's what it is. There's only two pubs. That's the village, so to speak, you know. One of them, which is a shop, you know, we're in the shop as well. If we lose that, we're gone. So we need to start thinking about that. In reality is, people like the idea of local shops, but you have to do more than just like it. You have to do something about it. You have to start buying locally. I mean, sometimes that means saying, well, we're going to buy the milk in the local shop every week, or we're going to buy the bread, or we're going to buy something. And I mean, there are some elaborate schemes, or not even that elaborate, whereby communities come together, some parts of the UK, and actually say, okay, we're all going to put 20 quid a week into this shop, one way or the other. Now, if we don't spend 20 quid, 20 quid's going in anyway, but we're going to spend 20 quid in that shop. So we're going to buy our milk there, and if milk comes to 18 quid, you know, we're leaving the other two there. If we don't do anything in the shop, we're leaving the 20 quid there. Now, I don't know if we could organise that in rural Ireland, but that might be what we have to start. People maybe need to start thinking that way themselves and saying, we're going to start committing to this. Now, it behoves shops as well to start thinking about themselves too and start marketing themselves. I'm not talking fancy marketing, madman type marketing. I'm just talking about saying, making sure they understand what the market is. You know, years ago, we were talking just briefly about coffee and all that. People, I mean, we all do it. I still do it at home, Nescafe or whatever. But people go out and they buy a coffee. They now want to have a filtered coffee. They now want to have a fancy coffee. You know, it can be done. You know, it's a smallish thing. People want to see, you know, their needs sort of responded to. So there is a bit of an onus as well. So maybe the likes of RG Data as well need to start talking to its members about that and start thinking about in terms of how we can do it. I mean, I suppose there's probably a need for us all to start talking to each other in a more constructive and a very frank way as well, constructively but frank about it. Otherwise, we're going to wake up in the morning and we're going to see the situation we have with... Look, in rural Ireland, we are the home of the cooperative movements in many ways. Sir Horace Plunkett, 120 years ago, whenever it was, set up the cooperative movement. And now we have firms like Glanbia, which are rapidly moving out of being co-ops and into private companies. So, but we never really took other aspects of that on. I think we, possibly for reasons, you know, that we didn't need to at the time. We had local shops. We're now getting to the stage now that if we don't start thinking in terms of cooperation, while we still have a base, we're not going to have enough of a base to do anything about it. So we need to start, as a community, starting to value what we have and organise ourselves. Or 10 years' time from now, you're going to be like Britain. I went to Mid Wales there about 2002. There was a town called, it's one of these long Welsh names, Bonfengenrihaid. You know, it goes on.
Very
and on.
Good, very good.
Rise up your arm, you know, if you're going to do it. And it's in the middle of Wales, and we always remember saying we went in. There was two pubs. There was seven or so in our party. They fought over us who should be, so we should stay over the pubs. It's B&B, very unglamorous B&B. So we had to go between pubs. Not to drink, but to sleep. And we did our project. There were like seven chapels of various denominations, Methodist type denominations, and there was one fairly weak shop, community shop, and they were so proud of that. At the time, we were sneery about it. We were sort of laughing at this. You know, they were selling a few turnips and the things they picked up. And I remember saying, "Jesus, we're never going to get that bad." Now, I don't know. I look around some of the towns around me, where I live in Tipperary, in fairly rural Tipperary, and I see towns who had, you know, banks, they're gone, yeah. Who had seven pubs down to three, you know, probably lose another one of those soon. We're looking at all the shops closing. As you say, the people moving in are the larger centres or whatever else, and they'll have a captive market as well. So, you know, are we getting to that stage? You know, I mean, if we don't do it now. We're going to be talking about the old day, back in the day, as we now say, and you know, when you had shops, as if it was a rare thing. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. We can organise ourselves.
Okay, so in terms then of kind of like, I suppose, help and support from the, like, what can a leader partnership do? What is a leader partnership doing at the moment?
What we're doing at the moment is research and trying to find our way into it, because it is difficult. And we have been talking to our department. What we plan to do is set up a network of shops. We're talking of setting up four or five shops initially in Kilkenny and talking of building a support network. We're talking to other bodies such as... credit unions, I should say now, who would have an interest in local things. You might look at cash flow and financing, or maybe low interest loans to get people stocked up. We're talking about giving grant aid ourselves to set it up. We're talking about dealing maybe with some of the multiples who might be willing to actually help with logistics or even help with stock or whatever else. And putting the arm on them and saying, look, maybe you need to do this, maybe you need to think about this in a nice way. We're talking about trying to organise these networks, these support networks. We're really trying to get so that we can, in our region of Ireland, look at, say, as we say, 20 to 30 shops who would then become sustainable and self-sufficient. And we're hoping that in 6 years' time, they won't want us, or they won't need us, and we can move on to something else. That they will be strong enough as a network, and that it will grow from there, and it will, and that it will become a movement throughout the country. So that we will have, maybe in, you know, 10, 15 years' time, we'll be talking about Ireland having, you know, 150 community shops, and nobody thinks there's anything unusual about it. It doesn't get in the Irish Times. People go, what? They're everywhere.
Yeah.
We want it to be as bog standard as that, because if it isn't as bog standard as that, I don't think we would have shops. I want private shops to remain in business too, but I fear as things change that it's going to be hard for them.
And do you mean that from a point of view of the multiples moving in, or do you think it's just going to become onerous for them to kind of have the shop open from 8 in the morning until like 8 in the evening? Like the family members will want to get involved in the way they were in the past. Yeah. I mean, Peter Ward talked about this earlier on, the guy from Country Choice in Nina. He was talking about like, I mean, the how that, you know, when his daughters take over the business, they won't want to do the same things he did. Is this what you're talking about when you say about those local shops?
That's exactly it. It's also regulation. I mean, it's become a common place to give out about regulation, but I mean, my local shop where we live in a place called Grange sold petrol for years, and the petrol pump became a sort of sight outside the door, you know, blocking the window, and you wonder who put it there, but it was that sort of character. And then eventually they sold petrol, and there was no explosions for all that time, you know, 60 odd years, there wasn't one explosion, believe it or not. And they came out then about 4 or 5 years ago and said, no, that wasn't the way to do it. There had to be, the tanks had to be somewhere else and had to be diggers. And put a bill, if it was done, of about maybe £5,000-6,000 on the shop owner. So they weren't selling enough petrol to pay that back, you know, in 3 years. So they just stopped selling petrol. So that goes, that means someone goes into Urniford and buys petrol, or Turles, or Kilkenny. So, I mean, if you do that, and regulation will kill it. I mean, we all went to rural shops where you had the bacon slicer, you know, the old joke about, you know, the highlight of the week was going to see the bacon slicer work in the local shop because, you know, it was nothing else to see. Well, a bit of that. But I mean, I often wonder, would a bacon slicer survive in today's health and safety world? I wouldn't think so. But, you know, if you keep putting layers of regulation on people, which really only the large multiples can meet, you're gonna kill it. Plus, as you say, kids look at this stuff and see their parents working day and night and say, I don't want that. I'm going to study to be an architect, or, you know, I'm going to do something, going to work in IT or get a job in Google. And even if they don't end up working in the local shop. You know, they might work in a shop somewhere in Dublin or Cork or Kilkenny. So, yeah, there is that. I mean, it was almost a vocation. But a lot of people did things vocationally two generations ago, you know, and maybe their children took it up because, you know, well, what else are they going to do? But it won't go to third generation. Okay. It won't go to third generation.
Okay. Last question, Declan. Thanks so much for your time as well. I really appreciate you coming up on the Sunday to do this. But last question. I mean, besides the kind of like the projects you've underway in Kilkenny, are there other kind of like leader partnerships around the country who are doing something similar?
There are, yeah. I mean, our colleagues in North and South Tipperary, the two separate leader companies there, Laois and Carlow, are part of this partnership as well. And I know everywhere you start becoming sensitized to it and you hear it around the place. And I mean, Monaghan and Cork, and we ran a conference there last year in the Horse and Jockey outside Turles, and I mean, it's just off the motorway. And we had 200 people there from West Cork, Donegal, all over the place. I mean, we ran it for locals. We ran it for the four or five leader companies, thinking that's what we were going to get. And we did put it out there somewhere on the leader network. People came from miles around because it really caught their imagination. I mean, Peter Ward was there talking about his thing and you know, and all that. And so he would have witnessed that. And we just came to us, this is a phenomenon. This is going to happen. And you will see it. And I think we hope to do is that we are able to put that network in place so that people can do it without fear, or without a lot of fear anyway.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Declan for taking the time to come along to join us at Banter, and thanks to Roz at Board B and her team for all their help with the Banter at Bloom series. This podcast was produced by Banter series producer Tanya White. You can check out thisisbanter.com for news where we're up to at Banter, plus you can also listen back to all the Banter podcasts to date. Bloom 2016 takes place at the Phoenix Park Dublin from June 2nd to 6th, and keep an eye on bloominthepark.com for more information. We'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, goodbye and take care.